of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Is all as well with you this morning? Oh, all is well. Yes, Lord. All is well. We have heard the message alone, and all is well. Oh, there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Let's all stand this morning as Brother Terrence comes. All is well. Yes, all is well. For we have heard the message alone, and all is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see if one with us this morning. Remember the ones traveling. I know Wade's out in Arizona. So remember him preaching this morning. So be with him. I'm sure there's other ones traveling. August 6th through the 9th, remember the 46th annual missionary camp meeting coming up. Information is up here if you need it. Got a few requests this morning. Brother Rhino gave me one. It says, my mom has appendicitis. She's having her appendix removed this morning. Please pray that all goes well with the surgery and the recovery. So remember Brother Rhino's mom this morning. Brother Donnie gave me one and said Susan's going to get her, to pick her mom up to bring her up here. So just remember her. She's traveling too. Sister Susan is traveling. So remember her also. And Sister Julie gave me one or two here. One of them's a praise. It said about a month ago, we asked prayer for a man named Sam Callahan who has done some work for us before. He had 5 massive heart attacks in the space of about a few hours, was in ICU and had 10 stents put in 21 days. In 21 days later, he texted us that he received a clean bill of health and is ready to go back to work. So we thank the Lord for that. Also, she's asking prayer. It says, please pray for my mom, who sometimes physically resists me when I'm trying to take care of her. It doesn't last long for her, but it's very wearing on me. She has to go back to the doctor tomorrow, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get her in the car without trouble. So just remember Sister Julie. She's having to deal with her mom, and a lot of us just went through it. Lisa did, and June, and everybody here, you know, over time you deal with people. When they get a little age on them, they don't want to do exactly what you want them to do. So just remember that. And we're all that way. Brother Collie's that way. I tried to get him to come up another way, and he wouldn't. He would had to come up the steps. So, I mean, it is what it is. So just remember that. Just remember all the ones. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Sorry.
Brother John Durrett's wife, Alicia, surgery.
Brother Durrett's, I forgot about that. Brother John's wife had surgery a couple days ago, yesterday for gallbladder. So remember him. I'm sure they'll be listening in today, or she may be coming home. So just remember Sister Durrett also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Lord, we mentioned Wade and them are traveling, and Sister Susan's traveling, Lord, and many other ones may be traveling. Just bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with Sister Durrett, Lord, that's been through surgery. Just make her healing made manifest, Lord, and all will be well. Brother Rhino's mom there, Lord, come down and bless her. All will be well there in that situation with her surgery today. Lord, we have sick that are here. Brother Dick, Brother Al, Lord, Sister Jean and Sister Johnny and Brother Darty, Lord. Just bless them all, Lord, whatever the needs are. We miss them. We want them coming back, Lord. We love you. Be with Dad. Give him strength. Lord, help us to have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
For all things are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Only believe. Savior, I surrender. Oh, are you surrender to him? Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Surrender all. Yes, I surrender. surrender all and all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all and all to Jesus. I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. And I surrender all. Yes, I surrender all and all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. Such a sweet feeling just to surrender your life to the Lord and just let Him come in and take care of all of our needs. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this morning, take up the tithes and offering? Let's sing that chorus, I Am Blessed. Brother Donnie wants to get ready for your responsive reading. Come up as we sing this.
I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. And when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Let's just praise Him for all our blessings. Oh, I am blessed. We thank You, Lord. I am blessed every day that I live, for I am blessed. And when I in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I'm so blessed. Let's all stand. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. And I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed.
Saints, beautiful day it is to be here today, and joyful thing to know that we can come and gather around God's Word and hear the Word that we hear. And sad that the ones that's sorry to hear about the sister with the operation there, but thank God He was on the scene and got it taken care of and just blessed her, and hope it all is well there. I'm sure it is, because God's always on the scene and never let me down. I'm sure He won't let them down. And I'd just like to say that the ones that are not here today, this, the Lord bless them, and whatever it is, just to bring them on back. We're going to read 138 this morning in Psalms. Good to have Brother Collie back with us again today. It's always a blessing. He's getting skinny, and he just dropped his Bible. Bless him. Ready. There you go. As I'd like to this morning, I'd like to do something a little different. As we pray, I'd just like to ask everybody here if you'll join in with me and let's just say the Lord's Prayer. That's sufficient. That's what he said it was. And that would be an efficient way to pray. If you don't mind, I'll go to the altar now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen and amen. As you turn to 138, Psalms here. Let's see. There we go. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing and praise unto thee. Worship the holy temple. Praise thy name. Loving kindness and truth. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Amen. O mercy, O Lord, and endureth forever. Forsake not the words of thine own hands. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. So thankful for the word of the Lord. There's so many promises. I tell you, if you ever just get down and trodden, just go to the Psalms and start reading. It's so uplifting. The many promises the Lord has given to us in this day. Let's turn to page 53, the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. Shall sing on that beautiful shore. The melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sign for the blessings of rest. In the
This morning. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. And by his stripes, oh, we are healed. And by his spirit, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's just praise him this morning. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. Stripes, oh, we are healed, and by his spirit, yes, we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Wherever I go, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, oh, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Oh, wherever I go, I'll praise him wherever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. And I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I go, I'll praise him wherever I can. I'll praise him for his love has surrounded like a sea. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, oh, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood, and I know it was the blood, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, there lift my voice. Cares all pass, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Savior in the sky, let's all stand. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Amen. What a day that'll be when we meet him in the skies. Amen. Are you happy in the Lord this morning? Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes out. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Bless you, God bless you, God.
See you.
Amen.
Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
sin. Holy, holy, holy.
Glory, you love it.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from Ephesians 2. Then we'll go to Ephesians 1 and then go to Romans 8. Try to get into our thought for today. Amen. Just remember to pray for each and every one. Wade and June, I think, will be coming back in tomorrow. So remember them. Remember all the others traveling, the different ones. And pray the Lord would bless. Brother Luis is out traveling. He's going and carrying Brother Royale Seriano and carrying him to different places to where he can preach and things. And so just pray the Lord would take care of them and give them a safe journey. And all. And let's see. Brother Luis, remember that. Two, I guess you've noticed we've got a kind of little hole over here on the side of us to where the building is no longer there. So just be careful out there, especially to the kids. Don't get over in there and don't get around those trash bins down there until we can get them all out of the way. But it looks real good out there. We've got Terrence and Zach and his buddy and all got down there and got it all dug out and took care of it. Boyd done a lot of it, so we appreciate it. It looks good. We just thank the Lord for the people giving us that building and things, and then we could be able to, get it all tore out and make it more usable for us. Okay. All right. Remember to pray for Brother Al and Sister Anna. Brother Al is real sick this morning, and I know Sister Anna is too. Remember them. Keep them in your prayers. Remember Brother Addison to be, the Lord would be with him and take care of him. And Sister Durette, she had to have a, gallbladder surgery yesterday and all, but they said she was at home and all, and just pray that the Lord would be with her and all the others. All the other sicknesses, we have many things among us till, just remember to pray one for another. Anybody else? Always seem to forget one, but anyhow, remember that. Okay. Ephesians 2, then we'll go on back into Romans. All right. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and love, Lord. Thank you for everything. And we just ask you to come among us in a mighty way today and let your understanding be with us. Let your heart, Lord, come to our hearts to where that we can, Father, receive and understand and open our eyes to thy word. Forgive our sins because we know we fail you, and we just pray that you'd bless each one. Guide and all, and remember all of these that are away from us, that are sick, and all, remember each one there, Brother Daugherty, still having trouble with his eyes, and all, and we just appreciate you touching some, Lord, and bringing them on out, and just bring the rest, Lord, and let everything be in your love. We love you, and we thank you, and we commit it all to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's a journey, right? Okay, drop back a few verses to verse 3 in the first chapter. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So keep these scriptures. Now we'll go to Romans. It'll be picking up our main part of our thought, I guess, from Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. any children than heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. I'd have a sister there, brother, sister, Rachel's sister-in-law. I can't never remember names, so don't worry about that. But she knows who she is. But glad to have her and the children with us today. Amen. Now, we've been trying for a while to get into our thought of the new birth. And I want you to see from the Word, because see, that way then if I can follow it through the Word, you can follow it through the Word, then you can read it for yourself and understand and get into the right channel of everything. See, we were all born in sin, shaping in iniquity, came into the world, lost. It doesn't matter who we are. Everybody was born that way except Adam. Adam was created. Eve was created. Everything since then has come by the fact of, you know, being brought into the world by a natural birth that brought us as human beings and put us into the, to a world of sin, all right, and put us into Satan's domain that we were not to have been. We were to have been into the domain of God. And it would have been wonderful had it stayed like the Garden of Eden and everything. You know, whatever he wanted to do to bring us into being, that's up to him. But to the basis of, you know, us ourselves and knowing that we come lost and we're searching for the redemption, and he made a way. He came himself to give us, you know, his own life. And that would make us come out to be then the children of God, because that was his original plan, was to have children. You know, that was original plan. That was what he wanted, but he didn't want it with the sin involved. All right. But then he still had attributes within him that was needing to be displayed. So in the display of that, he permitted different things. And to bring it into being that we would all wind up being lost and needing a Savior. Okay? But by that we could receive then eternal life and come back to the original plan and purpose of God. But it would take all of the time coming down that it took 4,000 years for Jesus Christ to come into being to where he could give his life. You know, so God's not in no big hurry. We're the ones that has the problems with that. And there the disciples for 3.5 years were tutored and trained of the Lord Jesus before the Holy Ghost fell upon them on the day of Pentecost, making them then the offspring of God. So we thank God that we understand the plan of redemption and bringing it into view and to see what it is. And to thank God for the truth of knowing what it is instead of just going along with what ideas of man, you know, people say, well, what is a new birth? Well, we just accepted Jesus Christ. Well, that's part of the plan. All right. That's part of the plan, but that's not all of it. All right. See, there's more to it that has he accepted us. Okay. And see, then you look at the religious world. See, you may think that I'm so, dogmatic of stand up on things, but do you realize? Has it just dawned on you to think a little bit about it, of me trying to stir you up, that the whole religious, the basics of all a religious world is on the basis of just ideas and thoughts of salvation? Where are they that teach the new birth? The new birth to them is just believing on Jesus Christ. Well, I accepted him as my Savior, so I'm saved. You know. Well, that's not all the story. All right? That's not the whole story. We need to understand more about redemption than to just think about it as, well, I just believe. Well, the devil believes, so is he saved? No, we said, no, that's not, well, that's all right. Then, you know, I'm not de-Christianizing the world. I'm just telling it like it is. The word is what does the de-Christianizing. All right, according to the word, you must be born again. That was Jesus' first message, right? All right. So then being his first message, that ties together the entire being of what he, as I said, come 4,000 years to get into being and come into that place of where that things could happen to bring you and I a new birth. Because if we're not born again, see, we're still lost. You say, well, then what else can we do? I'm not saying, that's a hope you get the point. I'm not saying the world is lost or the religious realm. That's between them and God. That ain't none of your business or mine, neither one. You know, it's not for us to try to convert the world. We do the best we can with what we can and the things that we are to try to minister the word to help people. Right. But still, if you'll just think about what I'm saying, if you went were over here to see what the new birth is, and they tell you, well, it's this, and go over here, and they say, well, it's this, go over here, and they say, well, it's this, and over here, and say, it's this, well, then which one is right? See, we need to get with the one that's right. It doesn't matter which way it goes, all right, to find the truth of it, okay? See, now, God didn't have to send us a prophet to bring the new birth back into being. Right? We were hitting that a little Wednesday. God didn't have to send a prophet to bring us the understanding of the new birth. It was in the Bible. But yet we had twisted it so much to straighten out that, yes. Sure, to straighten out the new birth, yes. We needed the prophet in his message. But you understand what I'm saying? They were already preaching the new birth before the prophet ever came into being. And people were already being born again. Because God was winking at the ignorance, as the scripture would say, and, you know, not accounting things and bypassing all of it, waiting till the time that he could bring the word. All right. Well, see, then, now we say, well, what is the new birth? Well, I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. That's exactly what the organized religion has always taught, those forms of some thing that happens as being the new birth. All right. But is that the new birth or is that like a baby? You got to go to the baby to see the new birth, right? The natural birth is a type of the spiritual birth. So what's the natural birth? Water, blood, and life. Drop off one of them, it doesn't work. Right. All right? See, then the baby comes into being and, you know, you spank it and it screams out and receiving life. All right? And as it does that, then it cries. It wiggles, it moves, it does all kind of things. Why? Because those are the attributes of the fact. See, that's not the birth. The birth has took place. The birth is not the baby as it cries out. The birth is the life that comes in that causes the baby in the natural to cry.
That's right.
All right. Amen. See, then in the spiritual birth, I'm saying this for a purpose. In the spiritual birth, we know that it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All right. Then we shout and cry. The birth, you got to get the baby here.
Right. Amen.
All right. Then you can talk about gifts and operations and things like that. But that birth is the birth of life coming into the child in the natural, which is the life of Christ coming into the spiritual, creating a new birth. All right. See, then we come into the message and we begin to get deeper into understanding of the things. And here comes a prophet to explain it and telling us that new birth. Well, we ought to listen to what he has to say.
Amen.
Right. You know, listen to what he says about it, because if we're going to believe him to be a prophet. All right, what did he say? He said, the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Personally to you.
That's right.
Well, now, do you understand what he's saying? Richard and I were talking about this yesterday, going to the hunting land and back. Do you understand what it means to say that the new birth is the birth of the Word? It, you know, what is the natural birth? A seed planted comes forth, produces a child. What is the spiritual birth? The Word made alive into your heart. All right. Now, if that's true, then do you understand what I'm saying, or what I've said for over and over about it, that the prophet said Christ, the mystery of God, revealed? That what is the new birth, Brother Branham? He said it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Well, Brother Dale, I don't remember getting a revelation. Well, see, I've tried my best to explain that to where you wouldn't go into those realms of thinking, you know. Well, when I got born again, did I get the revelation of one God? Did I get the revelation of water baptism? Did I get the revelation of one? See, that can't be. It's our understanding of something instead of those points like that. So what have I tried to express to you? What is that new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, the 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost outside, they heard a message, right?
Right.
Peter preached a message and the Holy Ghost fell. At the house of Cornelius, Peter and them brought a message and the Holy Ghost fell.
Amen.
Now some of them, like Cornelius, different one, they already knew some things. But that's, to me, is to see the birth. And what is the birth? On the day of Pentecost. Some of those people, maybe that was the first time they had heard anything about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All right. Let me get this off of my heart to where that you can understand. What is the birth of the Word? It's the Word made alive.
Amen.
Well, what happened with that 3,000? What happened at the house of Cornelius? What happens to all of us? You got to hear the Word before you can be born again.
Right.
True?
Right.
You're not born again just by sitting somewhere and something happens and light comes down and all that thing. No. Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
All right? See, faith comes by hearing.
Right.
You know, all right? Now, if it comes by hearing, then the seed's got to be planted into the individual before it can be made alive. And that's what I've tried to emphasize, what the prophet is saying when he says that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, like I said, you realize on the day of Pentecost, those people, maybe a lot of them, had never heard. Do you realize what it takes to bring a new birth? Suppose you today would leave and go to any place in the country that had never heard about Jesus Christ or anything like that, or Christians or anything. How do you think you could get them people saved? Well, God just dropped down out of the sky and say, no, no, it doesn't work that way.
That's right.
How is it that people come to salvation? What brought you to salvation?
Amen.
Hmm? All right. See, you heard the word.
Amen.
Somebody, mama, daddy, whoever, it don't have to be a preacher. You can hear the word from anywhere. You pick up a Bible and read it. But still remember, whatever you do, even if you're reading the Bible, that was written by some man.
Right.
And that's God speaking to you from that word.
Amen.
Now, according to the Bible that we went over and over, it says there in Acts that they were, when Peter spoke a great dynamic message of explaining the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's where I ask you to go back and read these things. But do you? Did you go back to Acts 1 and read? And see in Acts 2, Peter preaches a sermon to them about this Messiah, about this Christ. And they become pricked in their heart. Right? And they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. For the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise. All right. So what did they do? What happened? What would happen if you went to an island, a place, to where that no one had ever heard anything about Christianity? How would you think about getting those people saved? Okay? Are you listening?
Amen.
All right, now I'm trying to make an illustration, all right? I'm trying to say, what if you went there and done that? What would you do? Well, I get up and tell them I need to be saved. They don't know what saved is. Well, I just preached to them. What would you preach to them? I'd preach to them they need to be saved. They know nothing about it. But it wouldn't be no great revelation of, oh, well, I come over here to bring you the seals. That's not what it is.
That's right.
All right. See, you would have to first get those people to realize that they were lost. And bring them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into earth to die for us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And once you got them to listen for a minute about that this plan of salvation, this religion you've got, is based on the death of Jesus Christ. And how that Jesus Christ has come and died, he done these things. That's exactly what Peter done.
Right.
He preached them a sermon about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then God convicted them. You see why it's so important what you preach? It's so important about the truth. Sure, God has to wink at our ignorance all the time. But what about the... You're going out and trying to get somebody saved and telling them there's three gods. You need to do this, you need to do that. No, that's religion. That ain't salvation. Peter got up before a group of people that had never heard, and he preached them a sermon about the coming of the Messiah that he had experienced in his 3.5 years of seeing who this man is. And he told them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then God could come down and burden their heart.
Right.
They become pricked in their heart. And they say, what can we do? He said, all right, now here's what you do. You go get baptized and you follow the Lord. And receive the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell. On them that had been heard that one message. If you understand what I've always tried to drive, I believe it. I don't believe you can be born again just by sitting out in the woods and thinking about something. Well, you know, and you never heard about the Lord Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You never heard about the Lord or anything. But what is so amazing to me is that even the human being, the way the human being is made, he's made to worship. And by doing that, he'll worship the sun, the animals, the moon, the stars, and the things, right? He'll worship them things. Because he was made to worship something. But see, we were made to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, or God himself.
Amen.
Are you listening now? What is a new birth? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. It's not the seals. You know. It's not these. It's not a message of those type of things. See, that's what people think it is. They think, well, boy, I'll take this message. And that's what they're making mass confusion. They're going over preaching, you know, and they're taking it to the lands and preaching about this or that, even though some of their parts are true. But they're not bringing a conviction upon the people, because God has to bring that. But you got to get them to realize they're lost.
Amen.
And that God came to save them. That's what I'm telling you the new birth is.
Amen.
The new birth is when you have heard the word. It's been brought to you by somebody. Or you read it, whatever, you know. That's still somebody. He had to come that way to where you could receive it. And God can use that that is brought then to quicken your heart. You're listening to what I'm talking about. What was the new birth to the 3,000? It doesn't mention, like it does of the upper room experience, when the fire came down, the different thing. It doesn't mention that in the 3,000. It just says as many as believe were added unto the church that day.
Amen.
All right? And it brought those people a new birth. What was quickened to them? That Jesus was Almighty God. And what he had come to do. It was a simple message that Peter preached. Read it there in the book of Acts. He was simply explaining what God had done to come down to live in mankind and bring it forth. It wasn't a great mystery of this, of the seals, of the plague. We need to know, right, we need to know these things. But we need the new birth.
Amen.
Right? Then we get a growth development into those things. That's what I'm trying to lay a little platform for. See, then those things come into being. Brother Branham never come out on the Ohio River and said, I want you to know what the first seal is. And then that first seal is it, and then the second seal is it, third seal. He preached for 30-something years. And says it on the stature of a perfect man before he could bring that message of the stature of a perfect man. That's why I've asked you to listen to it or to read it. And pay close attention to what he's doing. It took him 30 years, he said. See? Growth development goes on into the child coming on up. It's into the journey that we've been talking about. Right? But you see, what is now the birth of the word? It's when the people heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of them didn't know who Jesus Christ was. Right? But when Peter explained that he was Almighty God and that he had walked among them, then they began to remember maybe that they'd heard of him. They began to think about what they had heard from somebody else or some of the apostles had talked to them. They began to realize that Jesus Christ was Almighty God. Because Peter didn't get up and pray, I want to preach you a Trinity now today. There's three of them. You got to be laid it down. That's what I've asked you to do. Just read. I ain't got time. Boy, you got time for everything else, so go ahead. But read there and just see how simple that he laid down a message explaining who Jesus Christ was. And he said, this one that you've crucified.
Right?
Right? He told him, said, you crucified this one here.
Amen.
He brought Jesus Christ out in the open to the people. And then God could use that to condemn them in their heart. And when they accepted the fact that he had died for them, then the Holy Ghost came.
Amen.
Right? Then they received the new birth. Not a revelation of the seals, the plagues, the vials. It's not a revelation that way. The revelation was the fact of what they had heard in the hour sermon that they were listening to. One of these days you'll realize why your prophet makes a statement. He said, you're sitting in your aisle. He said, you get up and start this way. He said, you need salvation, you need healing. He said, it was solved when you stood up and started this way.
Right?
Right? You was healed when you got up and started this way. You were saved when you got up and started this way. Why? Because, see, something that was taking place, something had been made known to you in your mind, or we'd call it brain, as to you need to be healed, you need to come up and be prayed for.
Right.
See, then the new birth is the birth of the Word. The Word that they heard. The hour or so sermon that they heard was made alive to them. What? What was made alive? That Jesus was Almighty God.
Amen. That's right.
There's your new birth.
Amen.
When it's revealed to you that he was God.
Amen.
Not just because you read it or studied it or claim it or the prophet said it. It's when it's revealed to you that he's God.
Amen.
See, when it's made known to you, that was Almighty God. Then he can quicken it.
Amen.
Now that's what I've tried to explain, I believe, what your prophet is talking about. Because what else are you going to make it? But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. What was made alive to the 3,000? A revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? See, then the birth was the birth of the Word they heard. What they heard was made alive.
Amen.
Into their hearts.
Amen.
And see, that was the birth. The Holy Ghost come down and quickened what they had heard. There's the birth. It's the birth of the Word. That's what I've always preached to you. I've always preached it that way because it's what I believe. The birth is the birth of the Word. And the natural baby, the birth is the birth of the seed that was planted. And the spiritual child, it's the seed that was planted of the Word of God that you heard. Like I said, what would you do if you were scheduled to go to some island someplace and nobody there knew anything about salvation? You're going to have to first get them to a point that they realize that they're lost.
That's right.
And you can't do it by trying to explain the goodnesses of things to them. See? But if you can explain Jesus Christ, God can come down and quicken that.
Amen.
And now that's the foundational for what I'm trying to say then. Because you see, Adam and Eve were created. From their own down, it has to be a natural birth to bring in natural people.
Right?
Okay, are you with me? So I'm trying to preach a sermon about what Jesus Christ done. God came into life himself to where he could die, to release his life, to where it could come and live in us.
Amen.
And see, then it's so vital how you preach it to people. So you say, come up to the altar and shake her hand or go quote a creed or tell it, and you're saved. Now, there ain't no such thing in the Bible. There's no such thing in the Word of God. If Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus in his first sermon that he preached that he must be born again, and he told him how. Right? Oh, Nicodemus like us. So you mean I got to go back to my mother? And he said, no. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus Christ, this one, has come and died in your place, and you need to be saved. It's the preaching about Jesus that people get saved from, not preaching of creeds and ideas. That only makes another church or another creed or another cult. Like Brother Brown said, I don't believe we're getting people to Jesus Christ. Right? See, we're getting them to our own ideas and thoughts or something. All right? See, Wednesday night, then our point was what? We were talking about, in the simplicity of it, of the fact of how the Bible tells us what we are when you're born again. All right? Adam and Eve was the only ones that was created. Rest were born. Okay? All right? Now, so everybody come into the world lost. Right? Everybody come into the world lost. Everybody is required a new birth if they're going to be in the kingdom of God. Right? All right? So then if that be true, see, then it would make every person would be the same. And the new birth would be the same. How much time have I spent on that? The new birth is the same to everybody. That's where you want to make it something this, that, or the other. That's not the new birth. But Brother Dale, these people shouted. These people cried. These spoke in tongues. That ain't got nothing to do with the new birth. That's supposed to happen after the birth. Right?
Amen.
That's not the birth. That's the baby crying after he gets here.
Right.
See, the new birth is the birth of the Word.
Amen.
Then you flop back. Well, I never got a revelation. I don't understand, Brother Dale. He talks about a revelation. You mean we got to get a revelation to be born again? A revelation of Jesus Christ, yes.
Right.
And that Jesus Christ was Almighty God, right. Yes.
Amen.
See, once this truth is required, God has quit winking at the fact of what we believed prior. He went through those days and hours and things of it not being clearly to understand. And he winked at it. But he doesn't wink at it anymore. Bible said he called command now all men to repent.
Amen.
See, I've tried to tell you, whatever the new birth is, it's got to be the same to every person and the same in every age.
Amen.
And that's been so hard to try to explain. Because see, people say, well, Luther, them, they don't look. What's that got to do with the birth? Yeah, but I just don't understand how Luther could drink a beer and sit in a pub and talk about. I don't understand how me and you can do the way we do. You want to talk? Office doors open.
Amen.
Don't play with me on stuff like that. I don't understand how you and me can be what we are.
That's right.
And act the way we act.
Come on.
Oh, we make drinking the beer before. I don't understand. God winked at ignorance. That's why he had to sin. See, he done it himself. He sent John Wesley with a message of sanctification. I like the way Brother Moat used to try to explain it. He said, kind of, he said, if you look at Luther a little, said, you look at him, said, he's over here into the world of sin, looks like, and you can't hardly see, you know. But said, if you don't look and see that there's a bungee cord hung from here to there that's pulling him and keeping him from going too far. You know, now that was his way of explaining. He said, now when Wesley come along, said he had to hook him and pull him over this way. And said, naturally, when he pulled him over this way, said Wesley pulled it a little too far. That may not mean a thing to you, but it means a lot to me. See, Wesley was pulling that, you know, condemning the people for what they were doing. And it was right to condemn sin. But there then in his life, maybe he was doing just what the other people was doing in another way. But you see, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to hook it and pull it right back into the middle. Sure, Azusa Street went off and cabbaged down on their doctrines and ideas and went after all kind of signs and wonders. But you know, there were some true people there.
Right.
They really received Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They really had the new birth.
Right.
Well, Brother so-and-so said he did. Well, I don't care what Brother so-and-so says. Brother Branham's the one that said it.
Amen.
Said, I met people with the Holy Ghost 50 years before, just like the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Okay. But you see, church, the birth is the same. The after effects is what we look at. Cried, shouted, done this, done that. But Brother Dale, you took away everything. You took away all of my things that I've thought all of my life was the sign or thought that I was born again. Right? You base it on, looks like some intellectual. And that's where I'm against that now. And so you're wrong. You're wrong to think that way. It ain't intellectual. New birth ain't no intellect.
That's right.
The simplicity of the revelation of Jesus Christ is not intellect.
That's right.
It is a revelation. That's why I believe it like that. You say, yeah, but all of my life I've depended on the fact that I shouted. And that the day I was born again. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. You shouted. But the shouting wasn't the birth.
Right,
I'm not destroying the shouting. I'm destroying the facts of thoughts of what we think about it. We think the shouting was what it was. No, the birth is the birth, then the shouting. The baby is brought into the world, then it cries.
Amen.
And we don't allow it. I know what that goes through your mind when I say it. We don't want to accept that everybody is born again the same way. Now, why not? Well, I just don't understand how that Martin Luther could drink a beer and sit in a pub and talk about the gospel. Listen, church, it had gotten so far in man's and ideas and things back there until there was no condemnation from anything taught from the pulpit. It had got to the basis till you could just fill out a piece of paper and get a thing, a right to go out and kill a man before you ever killed him. And here comes Luther out. Who is there to condemn him, to show him these things are wrong? Well, they showed me. No, you're way on over here. Well, I tell you what, I never did drink. I didn't either. That don't save me. I've tried to explain that, and people don't want to listen to you. See, you become a religious person. And you think your religion is what it is. You think because I didn't, well then, that's what I tried to tell the brothers in the message. They kept talking about born with this seed in there. I said, well, it sure must have been in me some way, because I sure lived like the devil till I heard the truth and got born again. Was I saved all that time because I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't lie? No. I was in danger of the fact of thinking I didn't do that. But you understand, the birth is the same. What happens is the attributes of those things. Everybody has the same identical new birth, or they don't have it. You can't have a dozen different new births.
That's right.
You got one new birth.
Amen.
And it's the birth of the Word.
Amen.
No matter what age it's in, it's the birth of the Word. See, then each age has a birth. And then we were trying to bring that out the other day where Brother Brown said that these people in this age was to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Right. I believe in that. I've taught you that. I taught you that this message has to come to a basis. I'm looking for an outpouring from heaven of a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost to take us into rapture. Right. I've always taught that. I always believe it. All right. But you see, that new birth, they put it on the Word. Then shout and cry. But you're saying the shouting and crying is the new birth. That's the contrary to the Bible. And then you say, you're destroying my belief, Brother Dale. I believe I got saved when I cried. You got saved and then cried. Or maybe cried before you got saved. Why would Paul come along and say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Or having previously believed? See, he knew what the new birth was. See, I know what the new birth is. People have said, well, I know what the new birth is if it don't fit the Word of God. But see, then I give the new birth to everybody, every age, every time, because it's the birth of the Word. Then Martin Luther, already being supposedly a Christian, then God spoke to him about the just shall live by faith. John Wesley, already converted under Luther's message and thing, a Christian teaching and through and thing, and he comes to America to convert to India and gets here and gets the message of sanctification. Right? Already believing that he was saved. Already believe in Luther's message of the just shall live by faith. But the message of the age started condemning the people for doing what Luther was doing. Drinking a beer and sitting in a pub. Two places you ought not have been doing. And God started through Wesley condemning those things. So what is the new birth? Well, that's Brother Dale, I'm going to walk up to the altar. And see, that's where people think that I'm off about. You come up to the altar to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You want to get everybody around and get them emotional, shouting and praying and hollering. And Brother Branham says, do not speak in tongues when you're praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost in time. You need that quote. He said, because you get their mind on the wrong thing. And he said, I've heard people speak in tongues and call on the devil. See, do you know what the new birth is? Well, you destroyed all of my things that I thought it was. Well, good. Praise God. We got that done. Now what are we going to do about it? See, now we can start thinking about a growth development of a Christian. That was never taught in the organized religions and things. Maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe a thought, yeah, we knew the Bible said being born again. I knew that in the Baptist church. I could read the Bible. But see, now we need the growth development. Why? Because every born again believer is born again as a baby. But I was 60 years old when I got said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You get born again, you're a baby. You ain't got no teeth. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says we're supposed to drink milk and not to eat meat. And the baby don't have no teeth. Right? A natural baby don't have no teeth. A spiritual baby don't have no teeth. You drink the milk. Right? You're a baby. I don't like to be called a baby. I've been in this message longer than Brother Dale has. I tell you what. Well, that's crazy. God, I hope so. But what good's it done? That's the only question I ask. Every person that's born again is born again the same. Right? Make sure you follow what I'm saying. It's the same for everybody. The difference in the attributes of what we do afterward is a lot of difference. One shouted, one cried, one spoke in tongues, one done. See, that's why if you don't have the new birth, you don't know what it is. Is that plain enough? If you don't have the new birth, you don't know what the new birth is. Okay. We go back down there where it was 3,000. There was 3,000 that got saved. And we take a trip over to the next country. We get over there and say, what's a new birth? What birth is a new birth? I don't know what about a new birth. That's exactly the way we are. But see, we get everything we think figured out. And then somebody comes along and says something. I never will forget Brother Moat years ago. He wanted to go to a long story, but he wanted to go to a meeting they were having. All right. The meeting they were having was a convention and they were having, it was about the new birth. And, I knew he couldn't help me do it anyway. And he needed some water pipes and fixing the inside of the house and different things. And I said, why don't you just go to the meeting and I'll do the work. That way we'll get God working both ways. I'll get you fixed and your house stop leaking and all this fixed. And you can go up there and maybe they might be somebody you can talk to. Cause he didn't go knowing he was going to preach. But he goes up and some of them finds him there and they say, there's Brother Moat. Let's get him to preach tonight. He said, you preaching on the new birth? Yeah. First night, he preached justification. Oh, They wanted to hear more. Second night, he preached sanctification. See, all them brothers was giving up their, they were scheduled to preach, you know. And once he preached that justification, they'd never heard it like that. Chopping off your past sins, but does nothing to your future. And, you know, and he began to bring it out in their life and things, I'm sure. See, they begin to give up their position to let him preach. So he preached justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm sure a lot of people caught a lot of things. But you know what? He never was invited to come back. Because once he explained it, just like what I'm explaining or trying, it is not your shouting, it's not your crying. That was not the new birth. That was an after effect of the birth. The birth was the word you had heard and took that word in the gospel that said they took the word and held it. The Holy Ghost could come and quicken that word. There's your new birth. Yeah, what you're doing away, I ain't done away with nobody shouting, crying or nothing. I believe in it. I'll quote you the prophet. A stillborn baby is dead. That's paraphrasing, but it's close enough. A stillborn baby is a dead baby. There's going to be emotions with a new birth. And anything that doesn't have an emotion with it is not a new birth. Well, you sound like you're against this, but now you say, I'm not. I'm not against that. I'm for that. Why can't we rejoice and have a good time in our salvation?
Amen.
But to remember what our salvation is. It's the same as everybody in the Bible all the way down and same way the prophet trying to explain it. You go to the prophet's message and show me. I'm asking you to come show me. Were he ever taught anything about emotionalism as being the new birth? He said, away with experience as a measuring rod. Right? As a measuring rod. Not away with experience. Because he never taught to do away with experience. He said, if you have, I was looking at it yesterday. He said, if you have the new birth, you've had an experience. You can't have the new birth without having an experience. Because that's something you live through. All right, over and over till you get it. Ever born again believer is born the same. It's the birth of the word they heard. And ever born again believer starts out as a baby, not according to what age they are, or even the amount of word. Some theologian come in here and he'd say, Brother Dale, I realize I'm not saved. I said, okay, let's take care of that. We pray for salvation. But I'd tell him right real quick, when you get the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to put you in the pyramid up at the top.
Right.
You may be able to talk about things, but it ain't going to put you there. God is going to come and put you there. And then you can talk about being born again.
Right.
And you can use the scriptures that we were talking about the other day. What? As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that which, now what? Desiring the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Now, how many of you feed your babies a piece of steak when it's 2 weeks old? It ain't got no teeth. It ain't got no ability. It can gnaw and suck off of it, but, you know. And hey, come on, folks. We was raised up in a time when we didn't have all the baby foods and things. My wife would take the kid's meal and, you know, beans or whatever it was and squish it all up and do it up and feed it to them. And they lived. You know. Surprisingly. But you know what I'm talking about. You go give the spoon and the beans to the kid, it don't know anything about it if it's 2 days old. Get it right of what we're talking about. The natural is always the type of the spiritual.
Right?
Right? See? Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren, so that you love one another with a pure heart. Being born again. What? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Right? 1 Peter 1 and 23, 22. What do you get with the new birth? What were we talking about Wednesday? It's the earnest of the Spirit into our heart. When you get the new birth, you get the new birth as an earnest. You don't get it as a full grown. Well, I got it further up than the rest of y'all. What made you that way? I just gave the illustration. Put the theologian down there. I'm going to tell him, hey, how old are you? I'm 80 years old and I got 12 years in college. Good. You're a little baby. You need some sugar tits. You need milk. Well, I know all about the word. You know the letter.
Right.
Don't throw it away. But the letter of it under what you had didn't bring you to Christ. Right? See, the earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians 1 and 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What? Until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Right.
Unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
The new birth is an earnest, a part payment.
Right.
And everybody started that away except the 120. The 120, you got to declare with the prophet. He said they had these virtues. So you go with that. He said, but they didn't have the headstone. So we go with that. Before anybody runs their computers and gets your brain running, I don't say, and I'm just, this is me. Maybe not all the 120 is in the upper room. Got the Holy Ghost at that highest position where it says Holy Spirit. Because it's according to how much word you got.
Right.
It's according to how much understanding you have. We'll get to that. You say, well, I believe the 120. Well, that's all right. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just being sensible. If they were not tutored and trained, they didn't get what the rest of them got. Okay? But they got the new birth. But everything downstairs in the 3,000, everything from then on was a baby when they was born again. I don't care who it is, where it's what. It's a baby, according to the Bible. Paul must have understood that because he constantly spoke of the earnest. He spoke of those things about how he was just a baby. What about a great theologian like the apostle Paul and all of his doing? And he turned out to be a baby. He goes to the backside of the desert. Takes what scrolls he has and what things. And when he come out of there, he was preaching the same thing Peter was. That's why I've tried to illustrate it over the years. Tried my best to get you to see. Paul tells us about adoption. But he doesn't break it down of how to do this and do that. Other than desire the sincere milk of the word. So you might grow. Peter says, add to your faith virtue. See, now they're in the right order. And Brother Brown said Peter and Paul had no difference in doctrine.
Right.
Are you listening? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Right. I have fed you with milk, Paul says. He says you're even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither, he says, now. Whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And become such as have need of milk and not of meat. What about talking to the Hebrews that were supposed to be anchored in the Word? And he's now telling them that they're babies. Bless God, I ain't no baby. See, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What about it? What about it? A baby. Sister Barbara said she had a dream years ago that people around here, one would do this and that or the other, and she'd see me after a while, I have them up on my shoulders. Well, I'm just honest to say, if you'd have seen it, you'd have seen a bunch of babies. Well, Brother Dale, you calling us babies? Does that offend you? It don't offend me whatsoever for you to call me a babe in Christ. You have given me the greatest honor that any human being could pleasure would be the fact that I would be considered a newborn baby in the kingdom of God with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the life of Christ living in me. Thank God, call me a baby. Well, let's grow up. Right? Let's grow up. Instead of getting our feelings hurt about everything, let's grow up. Quit being babies. Hey, folks, that's what a lot of people used to laugh at me. They said, how in the world can you preach the way you do, Brother Dale? And I'm talking about back when Brother Moat was the pastor. I said, how can you, I mean, people outside, not necessarily here, I said, you mean you preach with him in the depth of his understanding of the Word of God and the message? I said, thank God. I said, if I go wrong, he can correct me. If I preach it wrong, he can show me where I need to get straightened up. I wanted to preach it that way. That's why it wouldn't bother me to, I'll say it this way, forever theologian that's in this message to sit down and let me talk to him about the new birth. It wouldn't bother me at all. But it might bother them for me to tell them a bunch of babies because they're getting upset about what I'm saying. So if you're getting upset, it proves you're a baby. Right? You say, glory, hallelujah. Now tell me how to grow up. Because the Bible says to grow up in him. A bunch of babies. But I try my best. You call me deep. I try my best to stay with the greatest simplicity to try to bring something. Because I know we're all babies. Right? Well, bless God, I ain't no baby. You offended me. If I offended you by saying that, you are not a born-again believer. Is that strong enough? Well, you're doing away now with my belief in what I thought was salvation. You kind of got me away from the shouting and all these other things. Now I got it anchored. I'm in the message. Being in the message don't make a birth. Right. It's when the message is revealed to live in you and me. Right. There's a birth. Amen. I in no way was preaching where Brother Branham would say this message, this bride is to be delivered of a new birth. From Malachi 4, you realize that new birth is not going to be a baby form. Not in this day. It may start out as that, but it's going to be a growth development. What about it? To me, I enjoyed there the other night preaching about where, because I knew Brother Ranham had talked about the white button. I knew he talked about the little spot in you, but it just really hit me. And I started reading the things Brother Ranham said about. He said, when you are a born-again believer, he said, it's like a little button, life inside of you. He calls it eternal life. Well, I thought I got this field. Well, if you got field, how are you going to get any of this? I mean, if you come out of it full. Well, I got the new birth. I was filled with the Spirit. Like I've always said, I give honor where honor is due. But I tell it like it is. And Brother Molden, 1970 or 71, right in there, Brother Colin and him started coming. He started preaching on the stature of a perfect man. I wish to God everybody in the world could have heard those services. But when he finished, I asked him one simple question. I said, now, we believe what you're teaching. Believe everything about it. You got it laid out right because that's what he said in the book. He read it. I said, but I want to ask you a simple question. Now, how do I get those virtues? Because Brother Branham in the stature of perfect man doesn't tell you verbatim how to get those virtues. He tells you of a growth. He tells you of being born again, everything, but he doesn't tell you the direct avenue to follow. I went from 70 there to 80 by 1980. The Lord revealed it. And I come and preached it. How do you get those virtues? Through the opening of the Word. Amen. If the new birth is the opening of the Word, then the growth development is the opening of the Word.
Right?
Right. See, then you can see how the prophet done it. I'll make this statement and then quit on it. You can see how he done it. All of those years in his preaching, he's preaching in 56 on Intervale, talking about a living, moving instrumentality. Because he knew the Pentecostals had cabbage down on the new birth and was not bringing it, you know, into the fullness. He could see that. He began back in those early years. I ask you, if you will, to just take your message. If you want to be something to assign to you to study on, just start in about 1961 and listen to every tape from 61, really 60, 60 up to 62 when he preached the stature of a perfect man. And if you'll listen to it, you'll see that he kept growing. He kept growing and kept growing. He gets to the stature of a perfect man. He said, this come to me just the other day out in the woods. What? Second Peter. He said, upon what I was studying on. So all those years he was trying to preach the stature of a perfect man. We'll read some of those things. We did it the other day on that one where we're talking about the Messiah. Talking about growing, 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 growing. He began in that early part of the 60s to dig in deeper and deeper. The people began to pull away. Because he didn't know what he was saying. But he began trying to bring the birth. And he would make statements like it's one of them, you must be born again. He said, I can conclusively prove that you are born again and then baptized into the body. I remember when that went around. It's still going around. They can't figure out what he's talking about. Simple matter. You're born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your growth development is your baptism into the body for the gifts and the different things of the body of Christ as a adopted, manifested child. Very simple. All of those things, bring them to me. It's when it sounds contrary, bring them to me. We'll just sit down and take my book and let you read it, where I wrote the side of it, what he's saying. Why? Because I'm concerned. And there's not a one of them on there that he hadn't answered. Why Brother Branham said things the way he did. He didn't say it wrong. He said it right. We missed it. Then one day he come and he preached the Statue of Perfect Man. He said, been 30-something years to bring this. But you see, there's no way then to get this because you just study it out. But through the opening of the seals, which is the last advancement in the message, right? Irregardless what you want to call it, third pull, tent visions, whatever you want to call it, run through. You're going to have to agree with me that the seals finalize it all. And those seals finalizing is the headstone to the church. That will take her out of here. It'll bring those virtues into being. Well, you mean to tell me I've got to study the seals, get the virtues? I believe it. That's what I've taught since 1980, and that's what I'm still teaching. That you're going to have the opening of those seals to be able to receive the virtues of the Statue of a Perfect Man. Because you and I are not prophets. Brother Branham was a prophet, and God could open those things to him. But you and I are not a prophet. Think on these things. We'll pick it up this evening from right there. What? That little button. Come on, musician. That little button begins to grow. That little button is eternal life. Well, what's the rest of it in there? You see, you think how many frowns are the other night when I was reading where Brother Brown was talking about the growing and growing and growing. But I mean, I got the bird, I got the bird. He says you can still have bitterness and you're a born again believer. I know way, I know what, no. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're cutting yourself off. He's the one that said it, I didn't. He goes to doors indoors, listen to them. And he says there's places in there we have God cut off from. In our soul. And he said some of it is pride. Different thing. One was real strong. He said, one of them is faith. He said, now God, don't you fool with my faith. I've got this right and I know what it is. Don't you fool my faith. Read the messages. Listen to the prophet. See if he said what I said. Then you're not to. But think on these things. One thing for certain. Brother Dale believes all born again believers are born again at faith. Right. Must have the new birth, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Must grow in grace and knowledge. Up the stature of a perfect man to come out to a place to be adopted. All right? And then from there we'll go on to the change of the body. Brother Branham said it, the Bible says it. The last thing is what? The resurrection. The resurrection is the last phase of adoption, according to Romans 8, about 23, 24. To wit, to understand the redemption of our body. Let's stand together. Think on these things. I believe the new birth is the same for everybody. Go ahead, brother. Everybody. But we're not all the same. I got where the prophet said, he said, now even our Christian spirit, he said we're all different. He didn't say we had a different God. He said because it's according to our growth development.
Abides in me. He abides.
So you see how simple it is to preach a new birth? Preach Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, he abides in me.
And what he's done.
I'm rejoicing night and day. As
that's what it done on the day of Pentecost. That's what it done to Cornelius. he preached a sermon. And the Holy Ghost fell on that sermon that people had heard.
I had no peace with it till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet.
I don't like you calling me a baby.
He's so sweet.
Now why are you crying?
Comforter abides with me. Oh,
grown up,
abides.
Don't cry. Babies
he
cry
abides.
When they get their feelings hurt.
Hallelujah, he abides.
We might prove
me.
What we are.
I'm rejoicing right. Not in chaos, I walk the narrow way. For the
anybody have a need, y'all heard of remember the service this evening. Remember Wade and June coming back, Lord willing, tomorrow. And all of these others. Some are still, a lot of them are missing. You know, but we'll, you know, just pray that the Lord would bless. And if they're traveling, give them journey's mercy. Amen. Father, we thank you for today, and we ask that what we said has went down into the hearts. And Father, it's off our heart. And we just ask you to guide us and keep us. You know for certain, Lord, we're not trying to hurt nobody. We're trying to save every one of us. And Father, if I hurt feelings trying to save somebody, then just help us all. Guide us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
He abides, yes, he abides. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Oh, there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings.